Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe is pointing us to the teachings of Jesus on the matter of prayer.
Hey, this is Jesus teaching you how to pray. There is no bigger expert. There is no better prayer. There's not another pattern. This is the supreme, top, highest way that you can pray. And Jesus taught his disciples. And if Jesus taught it, it means that this is the way to pray.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe. Mark is president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and Mark, today we're talking all about prayer and zeroing in specifically what Jesus taught about the habit and, may I say, the rhythm of prayer.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite quotes of D.L. Moody is he, in his fiery way, he said, you know, I would rather know how to pray well than to preach well. He said, Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach. He taught them how to pray.
That's true, he did, yeah.
And that's a powerful statement there. Jesus teaches his disciples the pattern of prayer. So we're in this series called Challenge, The Challenge. And the challenge is to develop some habits in our life that actually will change our life. The anchor habit is the habit of prayer.
No doubt about it. So that's the title of this message, The Habit of Prayer. Here's Mark Jobe.
Years ago, when my daughter turned 15, she said, Dad, could you teach me to drive? I thought for a moment and thought, I think I'll take this risk with my life. And I will teach her how to drive. She said, Dad, teach me to drive. I'm in driver's ed, but it's all books and they're teaching us the theory, but could you teach me to drive? I said, sure, honey. So we got in the car. We drove to a big open parking lot. And so she got in the driver's seat, got all set, put her seatbelt on. I knew we were somewhat in trouble when she said, okay, now which one is the gas and which one is the brakes? I'm like, okay, this is down to the basics. Then we started driving around this big empty parking lot. It was in the wintertime. They had just shoveled the snow to the side, so there was some embankments. And she was starting to feel a little bit more confident, going a little bit faster, taking the turns around this big empty parking lot. And then she said, okay, I think I got this. And she turned, and I said, okay, turn, honey, turn, honey, turn, honey. Our car went up on two wheels on a snow embankment. I thought we were going to flip over, and we went boom. I thought, okay, she's just learning. Teach me to drive. The disciples went to Jesus one day, and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. They had just seen Jesus pray. And after watching Jesus pray, they saw the intensity. They saw the intimacy. They saw how purposeful he prayed. He prayed at a level that they had never prayed. He prayed in a way that made them want to say, we want to pray like you pray, Jesus. Could you teach us to pray? Because we've prayed, but we don't know how to pray the way that you pray. And so today I want to talk to you about the habit of prayer. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 13 of Luke chapter 11. By the way, if you follow the story of Jesus, his ministry starts with prayer. He goes 40 days into the desert to fast and pray. And his life ends with prayer. On the cross, he calls out to the Father. And in between, Jesus is always in this rhythm, this pattern. Over and over, the Bible says, and he got away to pray. And he went to a solitary place to pray. So Jesus was in the habit and the rhythm of praying. So it says he went to a place to pray. And when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And then Jesus said, when you pray, and he starts to teach them to pray. So I want to just be sure that we understand this, by the way, Because a lot of people think they know how to pray, but, well, I don't want to doubt that you know how to pray, but I'm not sure we all know how to pray like Jesus prayed. And then Jesus goes on and he teaches them a prayer that most of us in this auditorium learned when we were 6 or 7 years old. We call it the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Our Father. And so he prays this prayer. He says, when you pray, pray after this manner. In Luke chapter 11, we find this prayer, but we also find this prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Here's what I want you to understand. Listen to me well. We find the Lord's Prayer twice in the Bible. They are different. In Luke chapter 11, it's shorter. In Matthew chapter 6, it's longer. You say, well, which one should we follow? That's the point. Jesus was not teaching us a prayer to pray, to memorize. He was teaching us a pattern to pray. Some of you memorize the prayer. Go ahead. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. See, you know it. And you've repeated it. In fact, some of you were taught that to pray well, you needed to repeat that over and over and over, and that you needed to count how many times you prayed it. I'm not going to pick on anybody, throw anybody under the bus, but some of you were taught that way. And you thought that the more I say it, the greater prayer warrior I am. Almost like the prayer of allegiance or some other prayer that we say, barely thinking about what we're saying, because we were taught that if you pray this 10 times, God is going to hear you. How many of you know what I'm talking about here today? Okay, let me tell you, the Bible does not teach that. In fact, the Bible teaches against sort of mindless repetition. You say, well, I thought that the Bible taught us to pray that way. Yeah, the Bible teaches us to pray, but not to repeat a prayer. So I'm going to teach you now what it really means to pray the Lord's Prayer. So there's three things this passage teaches us: the pattern of prayer, the attitude of prayer, and then finally, it also teaches us the expectation of prayer. If you're taking notes, write that down. So, number one, let's start with the pattern of prayer. Again, it's found in Luke chapter 11 and also Matthew chapter 6. We see the Lord's Prayer listed there. As I said before, it's not the exact words. They both are different prayers because Jesus did not say, pray this prayer. Jesus said, pray after this manner. So he said, follow this pattern. Now, if we look at the pattern found in both Luke 11 and in Matthew chapter 6, then we start to see that there are six elements in this prayer: position, priorities, provision, people, protection, and praise. All with the P, so it's easy for you to remember. So this is how I pray. I've prayed this way for years. Years ago, I learned the pattern of Jesus' prayer. Now let me say this. You say, well, isn't there a better way to pray? Hey, this is Jesus teaching you how to pray. There is no bigger expert. There is no better prayer. There's not another pattern. This is the supreme, top, highest way that you can pray, and Jesus taught his disciples, and if Jesus taught it, it means that this is the way to pray. So let's break it down for a second. The way that I've prayed over the years, and usually in the morning, I like to get up, I like to walk when I pray, because I don't know, I just feel a little bit more energized when I'm walking. So I walk and I pray. And I pray the Lord's Prayer, but I don't repeat the Lord's Prayer. I start with, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's about position. This is one of the first times in the Bible that someone addresses God not as supreme creator, not as Elohim, not as El Shaddai, not as supreme, not as sovereign, not as the great I am, but he's addressed as Father. Not just Father, he's addressed as Abba, Father, which is the familiar form of Father, which means that he is saying Daddy. Our Daddy, who art in heaven. Now, he makes it clear that this is not our earthly Father. This is our heavenly Father. This is a familiar form. When you go before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, yeah, he is the Creator. Yeah, he is the omnipotent God. Yeah, there is none like him. Yeah, the angels fly around his throne calling, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Yeah, the earth trembles at his presence. Yeah, there is no one like unto him. You can't come before him in your own mortality and survive in front of this Almighty God, but he is at the same time Daddy. And when you go before Daddy, you're his daughter. You're his son. You come before him, it's one of the most familiar relationships that we have is with our parents. And he says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That word hallowed means holy. In other words, set apart. Holy means set apart. That is set apart like no other. There is none other that has a name like God. He is unique, only, set apart unto himself. The Old Testament, by the way, uses a lot of combinations with Yahweh, which is how the Old Testament refers to God. For example, it says Yahweh Jireh, which means our Father the provider. We say, "God, you are my provider. You are Elohim. You are sovereign God. You are my healer. You are my savior. You are my fulfiller." In other words, all the names of God, God is all that you need. And as you declare who he is, you say, "You are the God that heals me. You are the God that fills me. You are the God that gives me purpose. You are the God that gives me satisfaction. You are the God that fills me with joy. You are my protector, God. You are the God that opens up a way before me, God. You are the God that gives me identity. Yes, you are that God, and I am your son or your daughter." Now, we can talk.
You're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Jobe on Bold Steps with a message titled, "The Habit of Prayer." Before we continue, we want to make sure you know where to find these daily programs in case you ever miss us on the radio. Just go online to our main website, boldstepsradio.org. Or if you prefer to listen to these teachings while you're out on the go, perhaps even during a workout, you can subscribe to our podcast. You'll find the podcast by searching for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe on Apple, Spotify, or whatever podcast app you use. And if you do listen to us there, go ahead and leave a comment and a 5-star review to let us know what the program means to you. And did you know you can access more of Mark's content from Bold Steps on other platforms like social media and YouTube? Simply sign into your Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube account, search for Bold Steps Radio, and hit the like or subscribe button on that page. Now, continue with more about the biblical guide to authentic prayer. Here again is Mark Jobe with the rest of today's lesson.
I always start out that way, declaring who God is and who I am in God. And then it switches and it goes to priorities. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's your position. Secondly, priorities. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we praying for? What is a kingdom? A kingdom is a reign. It's a place where a king exercises authority and dominion. Heaven is the domain of God. There is no sickness, no death, no injustice. There is no sin. There's the brilliance of God and the unadulterated presence of God that we stand before. And what we are saying is, there is a kingdom that reflects who you are, God. This earth is a fallen kingdom. There's injustice and sin and death and brokenness and chaos and all kinds of detriment that happens here on earth, and things that are shameful and things that are broken, and there's pain and there's hurt and there's tears and there's difficulty. And so we start to pray, kingdom of God, come to earth. Kingdom of God, manifest your will, which is in heaven, but manifest it on earth, God. We pray that what is true in heaven will be manifest here on earth. And so we say, come, kingdom of God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I pray, first of all, personally for myself. When I'm walking in the morning, by the way, another little secret, nice strong cup of coffee. And I say, come, kingdom of God, to my life first. What am I saying? I'm saying that I want my heart, my attitudes, my mind to be submitted to the kingship of Jesus. In other words, I want me, first of all, to walk in the will of God. I don't want my heart, my thoughts, my mind, what I do to be outside of God. So I say, come, kingdom of God. I want his lordship to rule in my life. And so first of all, I ask for my life that I would come under the will of God and his will would be done in my life. Then I pray for my marriage because I am one with my wife, Dee. And so I pray that God's will would be done in her life and our marriage together. Come, kingdom of God, to our marriage. I pray for our communication, for our relationship. I pray that a lover like Jesus loves the church. I pray that together our anointing would be stronger and we would minister greater together. Come, kingdom of God, to my marriage. Then I pray for my kids by name. Come, kingdom of God, to my children. I name them by name. And now that two of them are married, I name their spouses. And then now I got grandkids. Oh, Lord Jesus, you know I pray for them. Come, kingdom of God, to my two-year-old and my 5-month-old. God, may your will be done in their life. May they come to know you at an early age. May they experience your power. And then I start expanding and I go to a greater family. I start praying for leaders. I start praying for the church. Come, kingdom of God, to our church. God, may your presence be manifest. May we be a church that reflects the glory of God. May healing happen at our church. May goodness happen at our church. May justice happen at our church. May healing come to our church. May people be restored and changed and transformed by your mighty power. Come, kingdom of God, to our church. And then I start praying for our city. Boy, that takes a lot of faith. Come, kingdom of God, to Chicago. Thy will be done, God. And you know, I start praying for the needs, and if there's specific people that God brings to mind, a marriage that's struggling, I say, come, kingdom of God, to this marriage. You know, there's been brokenness and resentment there, but God, come, let your will be done. God, come, kingdom of God, to this person that I know that recently talked to me about their addiction. Break the chains of addiction. And I pray for what God places on my mind because I'm praying the kingdom of heaven down to earth. Position, priorities, provision. The next thing that the Lord's Prayer says is, give us this day our daily bread. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't even like bread that much. And I, some of you are saying, is that gluten-free or... Why would we pray for bread? Oh, you have to understand, bread was the symbolism of provision. You're not just praying for bread. You're praying for resources and finances. You're praying for the provision of life. You're praying for mortgage money and rent money. You're praying for jobs to open. You're praying for abundance and giving. You're praying for every sustenance. You say, is it okay for me to pray for a new house? Yeah, God tells you, pray Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our provision, Lord. Help us to be able to survive and sustain in this world. And so you are encouraged to pray for the daily provisions, for your children, for your mortgage, for your job, for your finances, for your abundance, for your stewardship, for your ability to operate and flow in generosity, for your ability to meet the needs of your family, for your ability to function in this world. You pray for provision. And God loves for you to pray for provision. In fact, He encourages you to do so. Number four, you pray for people. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You are asking God to forgive you, but listen, for years I would skip this prayer when I was growing up because I knew what I was praying. You are saying, God, the way that I forgive people, forgive me that same way. That's a dangerous prayer that some of you are praying.
We'll continue with the next point from our study on the habit of prayer when we come back tomorrow. You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, and let me remind you that you can easily catch up on these daily messages whenever it's convenient by listening online at boldstepsradio.org. When you go to our website, you'll also discover several faith-building tools and resources, like our current Bold Step gift, which is available for a limited time. Mark, back to you.
Well, hey, we've got a special guest here in the studio today, someone that I've known for a long time. I consider him a friend. He's pastored in the city of Chicago, former pastor of the Moody Church, currently continuing with this program called Running to Win. And that's my friend, Dr. Pastor Erwin Lutzer. And great to have you in the studio today.
So great to be with you, Mark. And let me commend you for the title of your program, Bold Steps. As I was thinking about it, it says in the book of Acts that the early apostles, when they were under persecution, they prayed for boldness. Mm. And you and I know that we're living in an era in which we need some very bold steps.
Absolutely. And you know what? You wrote a book that the title itself sort of makes you want to jump up and say yes. And it's called We Will Not Be Silenced. And our listeners know that our culture has been shifting and changing, and oftentimes Christians feel intimidated by the culture. And I think in this book, you're challenging Christians, hey, don't be silent. Stand up, be firm, be gracious, but be firm. Talk to me about that.
Well, you know, I didn't write the book, We Will Not Be Silenced, in order to reclaim the culture. That might not be possible, but I wrote it to reclaim the church. Hmm. What I tried to do is to answer the question, what does faithfulness look like in a nation that clearly has lost its way? And so it was my intention to, discuss the cultural currents that we are up against, but at the same time to ask this question, how do we as Christians relate and how do we stand for truth in an era in which truth oftentimes is so convoluted? And certainly we're confronted with a lot of non-truth, if I might put it that way. So that's my burden. My burden is for the church to understand its mission. And we're living in a new era, obviously. No other generation had to put up with transgenderism and all of the other issues in our culture. And so what I want Christians to be able to do is to understand the culture better and then ask the question, how does the Bible apply to it?
There you have it, Dr. Pastor Erwin Lutzer. And I just want to say that he's a good example of a man that, as long as I've known him, he's been preaching boldly but graciously the gospel of Jesus and not been silent. So thank you, brother, for your faithfulness.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Well, we would like to send you this book from Dr. Lutzer today, so let us know you want a copy of We Will Not Be Silenced by requesting this Bold Step gift with your donation of any amount to support Bold Steps. Just call us at 1-800-DL-MOODY to donate today. That's 1-800-356-6639. Or give online and request the book We Will Not Be Silenced when you go to boldstepsradio.org. Or send your donation and request for this Bold Step gift in the mail. Our address is Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois 60610. And if you'd like to get even more out of your giving, then we invite you to become a Bold Partner. Through the monthly donations of our Bold Partners, we're working together to bring the life-changing truth of God's Word to listeners around the world and into the lives of generations to come. So when you commit to giving a gift of $30 or more each month, we'll also send you a signed copy of Mark's book, Unstuck, Out of Your Cave and Into Your Call, along with an exclusive bi-weekly video email from Mark and major discounts across the entire Moody Publishers online store. So partnering with us has never been easier. Sign up today at boldstepsradio.org. That's all our time. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and we'll see you tomorrow for part two of our message, The Habit of Prayer. We're learning how to talk to God according to the instructions of Jesus. That's Wednesday here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.